Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, August 24th, 2016, episode 12.05, the preseason week 3 show. You know what? It's time for me to put on my big boy pants and apologize to Brazil. I'll tell you why. Hard Knocks is still punching on the Rams while Goff is still making gaffes. The Redskins cornerback Josh Norman shows why you can become a star in the NFL by simply running your mouth and talking trash. The San Diego Chargers and Joey Bosa are just plain stupid, both of them. So I'll rant on why both sides have got this all wrong. Plus, I'll examine some of the best action coming up in week 3 of the preseason. And since our executive producer, thanks a bunch, Jeremy Parker, I appreciate it, has left me to my own devices for this segment, I'm going to talk about something I know he will absolutely hate, why the 49ers will have a worse record than the Rams this season. That's a lot to talk about, folks, so let's chop it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Oh, people, I am feeling good today. I am pumped. Week 3 of the preseason, that's when we get to see some of the stars play a little bit longer out there on that football field. And I have been working out. That's right. I joined a gym. I've had some pretty awesome workouts. And just actually got back from a workout this evening. And I'm feeling actually pretty good. I was very sore this morning. But after this workout, the soreness is kind of gone. I know I will feel it tomorrow. But I'm going to segue right into Brazil. In last week's episode, during the Olympics, you heard me kind of, not really badmouth, but side with the Olympic swimmers. Ryan Lochte and three other Olympic swimmers who claimed that they had been held up at gunpoint and by robbers who were pretending to be Brazilian police. And, well, it just turns out that that story was false. Shame on me, first of all. Shame on me. I've shamed myself by coming out and siding with the athletes, defending them blindly. For the accusations that they made. I said some pretty bad things about Brazil and how they should just, pretty much take care of the victims instead of making excuses. And, of course, as you all know by now, it turns out that the stories given by Ryan Lochte and his compatriots were fabricated. The guys had basically admitted to police. They made up the story. Why did they make up the story? To cover up the fact that they vandalized a gas station, damaged a door, vandalized the bathroom inside a gas station, urinated on the walls, and then they were confronted by the gas station security guard. Yes, he did have a gun. He pulled it on them, but basically he didn't let them leave until the owner came to the store. The owner and the swimmers kind of negotiated. They paid him money for the damages, and they left. And you know what? Had they just left it at that, nobody would have known how stupid they were. Instead, they concocted some crazy story how they were held up at gunpoint, and they were robbed by someone who pulled over their taxi posing as police and were robbed of their money in their wallets. Of course, the Brazilian authorities thought that, you know, this story wasn't meshing. They did some investigating. And finally, after detaining the, not Lochte, because Lochte had already left the country, but the other swimmers, they did fess up to fabricating the story. And I just want to say to all of my Brazilian fans out there that listen to the show, I apologize to you and your country for taking the side of the idiot swimmers. It was basically me blindly believing and accepting what these guys said was true. And that was wrong of me. You know, I should have kind of let it all play out. Then, of course, I can now rant on how idiotic and moronic you are to be in a foreign country where you're representing your country, the United States of America, and you did horribly in the pool. I think he won a gold medal in a relay, but all his individual events, he didn't medal in any of them. He was awful. And then he goes out and he accuses people of doing something that they did not do. He knows they did not do that. He was trying to cover something else up. And I fell for it hook, line, and sinker like an idiot. Goes to show you, you cannot believe everything you hear from people. And it kind of shows my naivete, if you will. I was being naive, believing an athlete for what he is saying to be true. I am too trusting, too quick, I believe, and that has been a problem. But anyways, all this to say, Ryan Lochte, you're a moron, and I cannot believe that you did what you did. And also, once again, to Brazil and my Brazilian listeners, I apologize, very sorry, that I threw your country under the bus when you guys really didn't do anything and it was just our athletes being stupid. So that's that. Once again, I'm sorry, and I'll move on to much lighter tones with Hard Knocks with the Los Angeles Rams on HBO, because that is some good stuff. Oh, man. Jared Goff, rookie quarterback, number one taken overall. I know the Rams want to start him. I just feel it. I could sense Fisher and the quarterback coaches, Wilson. I know they're trying to find a lot of positives in Jared Goff. But when you fumble the ball on your first series back in a preseason game against the Kansas City Chiefs, you just don't look good. He had a couple series with the first stringers, and he just couldn't move the ball. Case Keenum, on the other hand, led two drives, two touchdowns. Boom, he got to sit down and enjoy the rest of the day. Right now, if you were to ask me, the clear starter for the Los Angeles Rams is Case Keenum. I know the Rams don't want to do that. Why would they want to do that? They are spending a lot of money on a first-round pick. He's the first guy taken overall. You want to start him. But if the Rams want to actually win games early in the season, you got to start Case Keenum. He's looking like he's got a command of that offense. That offense trusts him. The receivers know exactly what to do for him, and he's finding guys in open spaces. And then the other thing, Todd Gurley, man. Gurley just looks like a beast. The touchdown that he had against the Chiefs was pretty awesome. And the fact that Jeff Fisher wants to put a red jersey a la let's treat him like a freaking quarterback, if I can quote Jeff Fisher from Hard Knocks, I just want the defense to know we're not hitting third. We don't want to don't want to tackle 30. That's Todd Gurley's number. And, he point blank tells his entire staff, we need him. And that's just telling me the Rams are going to rely a lot on Gurley. They're going to feed him the rock. I wouldn't be surprised if he touches the ball 350 to 370 times this season, carrying the ball and catching the football out of the backfield. They are going to run Gurley like he is going out of style, which is going to ease the offense for Keenum. It'll eventually ease it for Goff, but Goff still's making too many dumb mistakes that a starting quarterback should not be making. That's why I think Keenum will be starting the season for the Rams. Now, I can't go and talk about Hard Knocks without talking about Will Hayes. Now, remember Will Hayes? He's the awesome defensive end that believes that mermaids are real, but dinosaurs never truly existed on this earth. So, while that starts, Will Hayes is in the locker room with a couple other guys, and they're discussing Finding Nemo. You know the animated movie by Disney. And he is just adamant that anglerfish do not exist. Now, if you don't know what anglerfish is, that's a fish that lives deep, deep down in the ocean, in the darks of the ocean, and he has like a little light that is kind of like a little fishing rod above his head, and it dangles there, and it's a little light. Now, I did some research about this anglerfish. There's some bacteria that he collects, and it rubs with some other fluids that he has on his body, and it kind of makes this light down deep down in the dark. So basically, he can attract, you know, prey. He can prey on other fish. So the other fish come to the light. They're like, ooh, what's that light over there? They come. Just like in Finding Nemo, they're like, oh, the light's making me feel happy. And they come to the light. And by the time they get to the light, boom, he can get his meal and he eats the other fish. And that's an anglerfish. And it is a real fish. The one thing about Finding Nemo that I'll know, because I was taking a marine biology class at the time that Finding Nemo came out, is how accurate it is with everything that it displays in the ocean. Finding Nemo, as far as marine biologists were concerned, was right on the money as to the levels of the ocean and what you would find in the ocean and how those creatures act in the ocean, including the anglerfish, which is real, Mr. Hayes. But once again, he was adamant that it did not exist. And I'm starting to think now that basically if there's a creature that scares Will Hayes, he just pretends they don't exist, right? I think that's what's happening. He's like, anglerfish is scary, a T-Rex is scary, a big triceratops is scary. I don't want to think of those things. You know what? They don't exist. And I think that's what Will Hayes is doing. Of course, I'm just having fun at Will Hayes' expense. I'm pretty sure he's not afraid of these things. But they do exist, buddy. The anglerfish is down there. Don't go down there and pick a fight with an anglerfish because it will bite your hand off. All right. One more thing about Hard Knocks. And I want to talk about defensive coordinator Greg Williams as he is unloading on his defense. Greg Williams, defensive coordinator. You might know Greg Williams as the guy who was responsible for the whole bounty gate with the New Orleans Saints back in 2012. He was suspended. He actually was away from football for a while because of that. But Jeff Fisher liked him, likes his style, hired him, and now he's the defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I'm about to play a clip about something that he tells some of the young players for the Rams, and I actually agree with him. Here, check this out.
All the colleges in the country and all your moms and dad, nobody's supposed to holler at any of you guys anymore. People that have enabled you your whole life, they're disabling you for your future. When you don't do what you're told to do, you get fired in other jobs. You'll get fired here too.
You'll get fired here too, people. I mean, he is really getting into these young players and say, and he's right. You know, we have built a society now where it is not acceptable to yell at football players at the collegiate level. And as a matter of fact, well, we had a case where a kid divorced his parents because he didn't like that they hit him and tried to discipline him. And so I know all you millennials out there that listen to the show right now, you may want to fast forward these next couple of minutes, but it's true. We don't know how to take criticism. And on the football field, what Greg Williams is telling you is, look, the lessons that I'm giving you right now and why I'm being hard on you right now is you want to make this football team, you have to do what I tell you to do. This isn't a place where I'm not going to yell at you. If I tell you, get your butt up, move off to the side, and hit this gap, and you don't do that, guess what? You're out of job. You can go play for somebody else who won't yell at you and will let you do whatever it is you want to do. But if you want a job here with the Los Angeles Rams, you will do as I tell you. Otherwise, you're gone. And, you know, he made a valid point. Greg Williams is a little louder than me, and his bedside manner is not the best, but he makes a valid point, and I think that was a really good moment in the show. If you're not watching Hard Knocks, check it out. HBO, it's a good show. HBO is not even paying me to say this. I'm just saying
It's a fun show. You should watch it out. You should check it out. There's two episodes left. You know, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. They're going to start cutting people next week. So it's going to start to get really, really good. Now I'm talking about Josh Norman. You know, the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers last year. Well, now he's a Washington Redskin. And let me tell you why he is now the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. Talking smack has made Josh Norman the highest paid quarterback in the league. He got a 5-year, $75 million deal from the Washington Redskins, which includes $50 million Gura. That's right, $50 million Gura. Highest paid corner in the league. And all you got to do is talk smack. He's been talking smack all offseason. He's been talking smack about Odell Beckham Jr. He calls himself the best corner on earth. This is what he said about the NFLPA and the NFL. He said, the NFL is a dictatorship. And DeMaurice, he's the DeMaurice, we're talking about DeMaurice Smith, the director of NFLPA, and DeMaurice is in cahoots with those guys. So he's calling the NFL a dictatorship, obviously talking about Goodell, and he says that the director of the NFLPA is in cahoots. Yeah, they're going to be listening to some of these comments that he's making, especially this one. This is the one that I found particularly interesting. He was interviewed for ESPN, the magazine. He's actually on the cover of the magazine this week, and this is what he said about Odell Beckham Jr. He said, everybody saw what he was. And he's talking about the incident last year where the Giants played Carolina and Odell Beckham Jr., I think, drew three personal foul penalties because he kept trying to go at Josh Norman and he took a couple cheat shots on him. So he says, everybody saw what he was. People from around the league were coming up to me afterwards and saying, you know, he does that crap all the time. He lost so much respect from people for that little tantrum. I've already got a couple people telling me, okay, I've got a hit out on him. It's going to be tough for him this year, and he brought it on himself. That is the quote from Josh Norman. Once again, talking smack about another receiver. But the problem is that the league might want to investigate him saying that there are other cornerbacks out there that say, I've got a hit out for him. You know me. I'm not a big fan of Odell Beckham Jr. I don't like the guy myself, but when you start talking about guys putting hits out on him to try and take him out, you know the league is listening to that, and they might want to know, who are these guys who told you they're going to put a hit out on Odell Beckham Jr.? We need to know because we need to investigate this. So sometimes you can talk smack and become the highest paid cornerback in the league, and that's fine. You talk smack, and as long as you do it, you know, in a fun, playful way, and you're displaying your talents. But when you go about talking about taking out someone's livelihood and taking out a hit on a player, that's when the NFL has problems. And that, I think, is going to maybe get Josh Norman a little more under the microscope. He is going to be playing against the New York Giants twice this year. Now that he's with Washington, same division with the Giants, going to be going against Odell Beckham Jr. twice. You don't think the league's going to be a little extra careful with that football game? They're not going to prep the officials a little bit more for that game? And nowadays, you've got the rule. You get two personal foul penalties in a game, and you're ejected. No ifs, buts, whats, or nuts, or anything about it. You do something stupid twice in a game, and you're out. And you might even be out for the next game. So, Josh Norman, I mean, look, he's developed his brand, right? He's big, he's brash, he's loud, and he's developed the brand that is Josh Norman. And that got the Washington Redskins and other teams. I mean, the Washington Redskins paid him $75 million over 5 years. That's not even the biggest offer he got. He got a bigger offer from a couple of the teams, but he decided Washington was the way Washington pursued him, made him feel wanted. That's why he decided to go to the Washington Redskins. And he's there, and that's fine, and that's good. I still don't think that Dan Snyder really knows how he should spend his money. I'm not sure that the Washington Redskins needed to spend $75 million for a cornerback when they've got glaring holes on the offensive side of the ball. But that's between you and me. They've done it. He's there. And part of the reason he's there is because that big persona of I am the best on earth. I can talk smack. And as long as I back it up, people are going to be okay. Here's the thing. You're in a whole new ball game now. Making the money that's making you the highest paid cornerback in the league. Now people are going to want results every game. You are going to have to play and line up against the best wide receiver that other team has, and you're going to have to shut him down. And when you don't, people are going to come talking to you. People are going to come looking for you. People are going to start talking back at you. So I think Josh Norman has brought this on himself. Just like he said, Odell Beckham Jr. has brought players going to come after him on himself. Well, Josh Norman's brought this on himself as well. He's been really good at talking smack about other people. Now it's time to see if he can back it up. And we're going to find out in just a few weeks when the NFL season kicks off. Let's go to week 3 of the preseason. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 4 days of NFL action where you're going to see an extended look at NFL starters. Yeah, see, I can't even push a button right, people. All right, we're going to start tomorrow night, Thursday, August 25th, best game. There's 2 games Thursday night. Best game, of course, Dallas Cowboys at Seattle playing the Seattle Seahawks. Things to look for, Ezekiel Elliott, rookie running back for the Dallas Cowboys, is going to make his debut. The Cowboys are probably going to feed him 10, 15 times to see what they have in this rookie and make sure that he can be the number one back for them with Alfred Morris backing up. On the Seattle Seahawks side of the ball, Seahawk fans might be able to see Cam Chancellor come back and play in a football game. Chancellor's had a groin injury, hasn't been practicing much, but he is itching to get back on the football field, and he might play against the Dallas Cowboys, so that'd be pretty good to watch there. On Friday, August 26th, a lot of games on Friday. I'd like to see the New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get an extensive playing time there in that game, and we're going to see what the Carolina defense is going to do to him. Are they going to keep it strictly vanilla, or are they going to come after Garoppolo and try to fumble the bump against? The Pittsburgh Steelers will be playing the New Orleans Saints. Both teams are 0-2 in the preseason, so one of them has got to win. And I think one of these teams, maybe even both of these teams, have to show something. The Pittsburgh Steelers are kind of walking through preseason kind of like in this little fog, a little malaise. See if Ben Roethlisberger gets an extending amount of time. Their defense hasn't looked particularly good. The Philadelphia Eagles did a number on them. Their offense has looked stagnant. They got shut out last week. A lot of shutouts, actually, this preseason. The Bears were shut out in week 1. In week 2, I think both the Giants and the Steelers got shut out. So this is a team that has to do something offensively to make sure that they're going to be able to be okay in the beginning part of the season. Le'Veon Bell has now officially been suspended for the first 3 games, so they got to get their running attack going without Le'Veon Bell. You know, Martavis Bryant is going to be gone for the entire football season. So the Pittsburgh Steelers have work to do on the offensive side of the ball, but their defense is a little shaky as well, so I want to see what they're going to be doing there on Friday. The Cleveland Browns and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers also play Friday night, and I want to see RG3. Can he show us flashes of RG3 from his rookie season with the Washington Redskins? Because we've been getting inconsistent play. We've seen a couple plays where, wow, that's RG3 that we know, that we like. He's awesome. Then we see a couple plays where, like, dude, seriously? Did you really throw that football right in the triple coverage to get it picked off? It's just some things like that from the Cleveland Browns. You know, the Cleveland Browns aren't going to be that bad. Their defense is looking pretty stout. I like the defensive side of the ball for Cleveland. I think the offense still has some question marks, But RG3 has been given the reins of that offense. Let's see how he plays against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then on Saturday, Los Angeles Rams travel to the defending Super Bowl champion, the Denver Broncos. Of course, I want to see Jared Goff again. I want to see what he has to offer. But more importantly, the defending Super Bowl champions. Here we are, week three of the preseason, and they have yet to sort out their quarterback issue. Mark Sanchez, obviously, is disappointed. He didn't play very well last week. He said he probably had a chance to shore up his job, and instead now he's – Sanchez might not even make the team now. He's might be on the outside looking in. Trevor Siemian is going to start the game for the Denver Broncos. And then, of course, you have rookie Paxton Lynch. Those are the guys that most likely the Broncos are going to keep on their roster unless something happens against the Rams where Siemian just looks awful and Sanchez looks good. That's the only thing. I mean, literally, Mark Sanchez has to have a spectacular football game this weekend against the Rams if he has any shot of making the roster for the Denver Broncos. The New York Giants and the New York Jets play against each other for Battle of New York. That game's always fun to watch. I know it's just preseason, but there's a lot of pride from those two teams to see who is going to be the best in New York. They go at it a little bit at each other there in that game. So I want to see how the Jets play. Look, as right now, Geno Smith is still the backup to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think Geno has a shot of getting the starting job, but at least he hasn't worked his way out of a job where he gets cut by the Jets. Todd Bowles has said that he is still the number two guy backing up Fitzpatrick. We'll see how that plays out. Then the Giants, they haven't been all that good as well this preseason. As I said, they got shut out last week. So we need to see something offensively. Let's see what Eli Manning can do. I think they're still kind of playing around with their running back situation. And remember, there's a new coach in New York. So he has got to get this offense in gear and moving. And hopefully we'll see what the Giants have on the offensive side of the ball this week when they play the Jets. Then finally, on Sunday, you have the Arizona Cardinals traveling to Houston to play the Houston Texans. That game is, look, the Houston Texans have gambled. And I've talked about this already in the previous episode. They took a huge gamble when they decided to go with Brock Osweiler. Okay? Osweiler didn't want to stay in Denver. He didn't feel loved there. He moved on, and the Houston Texans paid him a boatload of money. Seriously, a boatload of money. Like, they backed out of a boat. It was full of money, and they said, here, come play for us. And that's good. I've said for a long time, and I think maybe 4 or 5 years, the Houston Texans needed to spend some money on the offensive side of the ball. This isn't exactly what I had in mind, right? I didn't think they were going to give that much money to freaking Brock Osweiler, who's only had a few games under his belt, but they did. This is their gamble. This is who they're going with. Now it's got to pay off. I haven't seen much from Osweiler yet. This is a game that I will actually watch. The entire time Osweiler's on the field, I'm going to be watching it because I want to see what he has to offer the Houston Texans. Because literally the Houston Texans, they felt that they were a quarterback away from getting them over the hump. I think maybe they were a better running back and a wide receiver or a tight end from getting over the hump. But this is definitely going to be a very, very crucial game to see how Osweiler handles a defense like the Arizona Cardinals that is projected to be a top 10 defense again this season. If they get after him and they make him look bad, it could possibly spell a very long season for the Houston Texans. Then another game on Sunday that I'll be looking forward to see, Cincinnati Bengals and Jacksonville Jaguars. Andy Dalton back at the helm after getting injured late last year. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, hey, could this be a sleeper team for me? Possibly. I'm not saying that they're going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl, but this is a team that, you know, last year played very hard. They were in a bunch of the games that they lost, and I think a lot of those tight games that they lost by 3, 4, 5 points, those could be wins for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. I like what I'm seeing from their defense on the defensive side of the ball. And offensively, hey, Blake Bortles might be coming into his own. He's got a lot of weapons there with the Allens. And, you know, their running game could potentially be a lot better this year as well. So I think offensively they're going. Like I said, I like their defense. This is a game to match up against the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that at the beginning of last year, their offense was very potent. They were scoring a lot of points. So that'll be a good game to watch as well, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, let's move to our executive producer segment. As I said earlier in the show, our executive producer took a vacation, and he kind of left me to my own devices for this segment. So I am going to tease him by asking why or answering why the San Francisco 49ers will have a worse record than the Los Angeles Rams this season. I know, Jeremy. I know. I'm kind of picking at you. Jeremy Parker, thank you for becoming an executive producer of the show. I appreciate it. But here it comes. It comes down to this. All right, Jeremy. The San Francisco 49ers offensively just do not look threatening at all. And the fact is that it comes down to quarterback play in the National Football League. And right now, whether it's Gabernick or Ponder, it's not enough. It's just not enough. Blaine Gabbert, Colin Kaepernick, who hopefully will see play in a preseason game this week, and Christian Ponder, one of those guys is going to lead your football team, and I don't think they're going to get it done. I think Kaepernick, if he's healthy enough, might be the guy, but he's still – Kaepernick feels that the front office doesn't like him. And he may be onto something, but it just seems that every time that Kaepernick and Balky in the front office and they kind of talk, one person says one thing and then the other one says something different. And that's what's going on right now with the San Francisco 49ers and Colin Kaepernick. He really wants out. He really wanted to get traded to the Denver Broncos. It didn't happen. I thought that with his athleticism, his mobility, he would fit great in Chip Kelly's system. But we haven't seen him yet because he's had the arm fatigue and he hasn't really been practicing full strength with the team. That is a problem. And then I just don't think their defense is going to be as good as the defense of old. This is not the same defense the San Francisco 49ers have shown over the last several seasons. It has taken a hit. It has come down a notch. So I think the Rams' defense is actually better. I think the Rams have the potential to actually sweep the 49ers this year. And I think the 49ers have a pretty tough schedule. And that's why I think the Rams will finish the season something at like 9-7, possibly 10-6. While the San Francisco 49ers will be close to winning 5 or 6 games. Sorry about that, Jeremy. I know that that's not going to make you happy, but that's what happens when you leave me to my own devices and you go on vacation and you don't send me emails on what you want your segment to be about. All right, in my final segment, I have got to rant on the San Diego Chargers and Joey Bosa. People, if you've been asleep or under a rock or hiding and haven't heard this latest situation with the San Diego Chargers and Joey Bosa, where have you been? Bosa, the last remaining draft pick to sign with his team. Bosa was taken 3rd overall by the San Diego Chargers. He is not in camp. He has not signed a contract. And here's what happened over the course of like 14 hours today. The San Diego Chargers released a statement, okay? And the statement wasn't very good. Basically, they said, our contract discussions and offers to the representatives of Joey Bosa have been both fair and structurally consistent with the contracts of every other Chargers player. Our offer included, and then they go on and tell them, you know, basically say what the offer included, which was a signing bonus that was larger than any player in the league has received in the last 2 drafts. More money in this calendar year than every other player in this year's draft except Carson Wentz, the quarterback, Philadelphia Eagles. It was going to have the largest payment and the highest percentage of signing bonus received in the first calendar year of any Chargers first-round selection since the inception of the current CBA. They say they gave Joey's representative the best deal last night, and it was rejected today. So they go on and they talk about how they're not happy, and they've decided to, since they believe that now their offer was not accepted, they say Joey will be unable to contribute for the full 16 games without the adequate time on the practice field, in the classroom, and in preseason games, because obviously he's going to miss the third and crucial preseason game. So here's the deal. The Chargers came out and said, look, it's two games. It's 2 days before our third preseason game. They rejected our latest offer. He's not here. It's not going to be good. He's probably not going to be able to contribute a full 16 games. So we're pulling our offer off the table. Then immediately after that statement was released, John Spano comes on radio, on NBC Sports Radio and NBC Network, and he says, I'm highly, highly disappointed in the path we've had to take. It's so overly clear we had no choice. It would have been more difficult if I felt they were being reasonable, but when you're dealing with someone who isn't reasonable, it makes it easy. So he goes on to say basically what the statement said about the money, and he's not very happy. Well, that was at about 5 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock, 2:30 Pacific time. Then we get a statement from Joey's representatives. The representatives basically are the firm CAA. It is the firm that represents Joey Bosa. And they decided to issue a statement. And basically the first paragraph reads, it is unfortunate the San Diego Chargers have decided to manipulate facts and negotiate in the media. The team surely is not strengthening its relationship with Joey Bosa by taking this stance and making their position public. We have decided that we will not engage in public negotiations or discuss numbers and or terms in this negotiation. So they're basically saying, hey, so the San Diego Chargers, they've put out their statement. It says about all the money and stuff that they're willing to offer. We're not going to do that in public. We're not going to do that in the media. We're going to do that in private, and that's that. Okay, that's fine. But then we're done. Then the agents for Joey Bosa, after they issued the statement, come out and say that basically the Chargers are to blame for this delay. And they wanted to reiterate that to the Chargers, they are hurting the relationship between them and Joey Bosa with these tactics that they're using by releasing the statement to the media. They want to say that they made a counteroffer that the team did not respond to for 14 days. So he's like, what do you want us to do? I mean, we've made a counteroffer. It was radio silence for 14 days after that. It's a he said, she said, I don't want to play for this much money. You should play for this much money because this is the contract that everyone else has gotten. You're getting, I think, something like 85% of your signing bonus before the end of the year. So I'm still not sure why the San Diego Chargers still don't just pony up the money. I mean, this is guaranteed money that they're paying him anyways. Why they have to defer it, I have no idea. But the other thing, and bottom line, is the only person Joey Bosa is hurting is Joey Bosa. He is hurting himself by not being on the practice field right now with your football team and not being there with your teammates, learning that defensive system, how they play, how you're supposed to play, where you're supposed to be, and more importantly, not getting the reps with the first team and playing in these preseason games, he's hurting only himself. He can be traded. That trade deadline is passed for trading unsigned draft picks. Can be traded. And if he's not going to accept what the Chargers are offering, and the Chargers look like right now they have entrenched themselves and said, this is what we are offering, and that's it. Take it or leave it. If he leaves it, he is going to sit out an entire year. And you know what, Joey? Next year, if you enter the 2017 draft, you will not be taken third overall. I don't think this is sunk in Joey Bosa's head just yet. You think you're just going to sit out a year, and after the pain that you've caused the San Diego Chargers by not accepting all of the money that they're going to give you anyways, other teams are going to want to deal with you, and they're going to take you in the first round? Dude, you got another thing coming if you think you could sit out of football for a year and teams will take you as high as you were taken in this year's draft. The Chargers are being idiots because they're trying to manipulate the system to have them save a little bit of money this year. And Joey Bosa is being an idiot because he's still going to get his money, just not all at once like he would like. But the bad thing is, if he don't come play right now, he's not playing all year. And if he doesn't play all year and sits out a year, and when he comes back into the draft next year, he won't get taken third overall. So he's not going to get third overall money, therefore losing out millions more than had he just signed on day one. Unreal. Unreal. Both of those teams. As a matter of fact, I'm not talking about the whole San Diego Charger, Joey Bosa thing anymore until he signs his deal, because he's being stupid. The Charger being stupid, yes, but the player is being even more stupid because he's got nowhere to go. The Chargers are going to be fine without him. They'll just move on. They'll bring in another body, and they will go and play defense without Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa can't play football anywhere else, and that's just hurting himself. So if the Chargers are being stupid, Joey Bosa is being more stupid. And whoever is in his ear talking to him, they are doing a disservice to him and his family. That's all I'm going to say about that. And that's about all the time I've got tonight. Thank you for listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Folks, make sure that you are following along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Get on it if you're not doing that. You can find all the social media handles at www.nflrnr.com. I would like to thank all of my patrons and all of my show donors. If you still haven't done it, go out to patreon.com/NFLRANDR. And you can become a patron of the show, help support the show, keep going. I would appreciate it. And once again, thank you to Jeremy Parker. I hope you got a kick out of my little executive producer segment today. Thank you all for listening. Wherever you are in this world and however you're listening, I simply enjoy doing this for you. I'm Stephen Miranda, and you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm out.